All right, now it's time for Talking Books with Susan Brown, who heads up the Chapel Hill Public Library and joins us here now in the studio on this Wednesday afternoon. Susan, how are you?
I am outstanding. How are you, sir?
I'm good. I have to keep reminding myself that today is Wednesday because Monday was a day off for a lot of people, including myself. So all day yesterday, I thought it was Monday. And I'm only just now realizing today that I was reading all kinds of Monday-specific things on the air yesterday. Like, oh, you know, today, head to Squid's because lobster night every single Monday. I think I said that yesterday.
I bet
on
Squid's
the air.
Is loving you. All these people are being like, we were told there'd be cheap lobster. Aaron Keck said so. No, I did the same thing. And actually, so it's really thrown me off, like these short weeks and the holiday.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the idea, so I generally think that we should just cancel Mondays. I'm like Garfield. I've gotten older. I'm totally Garfield. I'm like, I hate Mondays. I'm cliche. But then when we do basically cancel Monday, I mean, Monday still happened. We just didn't have to go to work, some of us, although the library was open. It throws everything off. So yesterday, it felt like Monday, and I was in between meetings, and I realized it like dawned on me that it's Tuesday, which meant that it's not the day that my kid goes to after school. I had to go pick my kid up from school.
Oh,
and then
no.
I was thinking, had I not realized this, they'd have been like calling me like, come get your child. So I went and got him. It was fun.
Good.
But yes, I have just been thrown.
If, in fairness, if it makes you feel a little better, if you're thinking that, then everyone's thinking that. So if they're calling you to say, come get your child, they might have been calling six other parents and telling them the same thing.
Yeah, I think that there were a couple sheepish-looking parents in that pickup line as well. But yeah, so it's hot outside.
It's real hot outside.
It's hot. I mean, it's going to be hotter, right?
Well, only for one day. Only for one day, and then it cools off again. And then June comes, and it's going to be back to 100 degrees, probably.
The trick for me is walking in and out of the highly conditioned inside air to the hot, hot outside air.
And then sneezing five times.
Yes!
Yep. Yeah. I am hoping, I said this to Gene Bolduc last hour, I am hoping that the summertime works out for us exactly the way that last winter worked out for us. You remember, like, right at the beginning, it wasn't even technically winter yet. It was, like, early December. We got 12 inches of snow, and everyone was like, oh, God, this is going to be the worst winter ever. And that was the only snow we got. So I'm hoping this is our only heat wave. Like, get it all out of the way in late May, and then July is going to be great.
That would be amazing.
That, I'm calling it right
totally
here.
Totally not going to happen, but
absolutely
that would be great.
Not. Yeah. What's going on at the library?
We're having a lot of fun at the library.
Nice.
Getting ready for, you know, everybody's counting down to the end of the school year.
Yes.
So we're gearing up. One cool thing that's happening this week is, so our staff really and truly spending all their time, you know, putting the finishing touches on summer programming. They go out and they visit almost all the schools and they talk up the summer challenge and summer blast and all of that, which means that this week they aren't in as much to do their regular program. So this week at the library, we started this a couple years ago and people love it. We have guest readers on that for a week, usually right now at the beginning of the summer and then a week at the end. And we have called it before Books and Badges. So this week we have policemen and women and firefighters who come in and do story times. The first time we did it, we called it Books and Badges. And then somebody said, well, kids like, you know, like buses and dump trucks. So why not have transit drivers come and read to kids and public works guys? So we have done that several times. And it's just so much fun.
Books and big rigs.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's a really, really fun thing. And that's one of the things I love about working for the town is that we're so collaborative and you can just call up somebody and say, hey, chief, I need a couple officers to come and read to kids. And he's like, sure. So it's really great. So if you have young kids this week and you're looking for a fun story time, I highly recommend that.
Trucks and Tales. There we
go. Now, a couple years ago, we did do Books on the Bus where we loaded up kids on a bus and then we read stories and sang bus songs while being driven around town. It was awesome.
That.
It was
what
super fun.
What bus songs were you driving?
Wheels on the Bus.
Okay.
Also the Wheels on the Bus. And then we sang the Wheels on the Bus.
A little bit more, yeah. had a very similar experience growing up with 100 bottles of beer on the wall. Mm-hmm, but yeah, I know where you're coming from with that. Yeah.
And then the big summer reading kickoff party, the Summer Blast Party, is on June 14th, Friday night. School ends on the 13th, and the party is on the 14th. We're starting to get in all of the reading logs and the prizes. And this year, Daniel Seiler, a.k.a. Library Marketing Dude, had the great joy of opening up this big box that came UPS or whatever. And you open it up, and it's full of the woven, brightly colored friendship bracelets. And what thing to, I mean, like thousands of them, because that is when everybody signs up this year as a nod to our friends who support the program. Mm-hmm. We're giving out friendship bracelets. So when all the swag starts coming in, it's super fun to work there.
Awesome. So that's starting in 2 weeks, basically?
Two weeks
and a couple days?
Yeah. Nice. And soon, we're not quite sure when, but soon we'll add that parking. Not ideal that it's coming at our busiest time, but it is what it is. We'll take it.
Yeah.
So we'll let folks know about that, but it's going to be a busy summer, as always.
All right. Speaking with Susan Brown, chapelhillpubliclibrary.org, right, is the website
for
Chapel Hill Public Library. I still have to get that into my head because it's like this cool new website that's easy to remember, except now I'm having trouble
remembering. You can't do it.
Yeah. So what are we reading? Let's talk books. What do we got?
Yeah. So I think we said we'd start with what we just read, what we're currently reading.
And then what we're about to
read. And what's on deck.
And what's on deck. I love it. All right.
And we may have mentioned Beyond Books as well, because I did not spend my holiday weekend reading. I spent it binge watching a show.
That's fair.
So that's where I'll start.
Okay, go for
it. I had visions of reading all weekend, but that didn't happen. So I want to recommend a show that a lot of people are talking about right now. It's on Netflix, and it's a show called Fleabag. Everybody's talking about it right now on Twitter.
I've heard amazing things about this
show.
So
it's a show that they just finished the second season, and this may be the last season. It's a British show, and it's a comedy, but it's really, really well done. And the first episode, if you can't take some sexual content and humor being served up right in front of your face, do not watch it. It's borderline transgressive, the first 5 minutes of the first show. But as you move into the show, and especially the second season, it's so good. So it's a British woman named, the actress is named Phoebe Waller-Bridge, and she's an actress. She's done a one-woman show, and it's all about family and love and life and making mistakes and being a woman. And it's hard to sort of describe. I'm not doing a great job of it. But it's really good. Yeah. And she's also the woman who writes Killing Eve, which is a really popular show as well.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
And it's this brilliant creative voice that I just discovered, and I can't wait to see what she does next.
I feel like a lot of the shows that are getting a lot of buzz and a lot of like critical acclaim and people talking about it and everyone, like the water cooler kind of shows, are very hard to describe what the show actually is. Like, oh, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. She's a housewife in the 50s who becomes a stand-up comic, and then it goes from there.
I feel like
the quality of the show is in the "and then it goes from there."
Absolutely. Yeah. And this is a show that I'd seen it on, or sorry, it is not on Netflix. It's on Amazon Prime. I'd seen it, but there's something about the graphic they use. It just never, like, I would see it and I just passed it by. I was like, I don't know what that show is. And somehow I just decided to watch it. And like, you know, hours and hours later.
I don't think you're the only one, because this is season two they're on. I would have sworn it was season one, because I did not hear very many people talking about it until fairly recently.
Yeah,
like season two is where it takes off.
Brilliant. Season two is so good. So that is what I just finished.
Okay.
What about
I can't say that I've been watching anything that good or that substantive. We went to see Hello, Dolly at DPAC this past week. We actually got a chance to see it twice, because then Brad entered the lottery and won, so we went back and saw it again, which was great. And that, over the last couple of days, has led me down the YouTube rabbit hole of, I got online and I started looking up videos of other productions of Hello, Dolly and saw my favorite songs. And while I'm on the subject, I might as well watch videos of other classic Broadway songs. That was a my binge watching for the weekend, so nothing really substantive. But I have been going through, and I've talked about this, I have been going through the UNC library and like walking through the shelves and pulling off whatever I want to read. And you have been making fun of me for this because the vast majority of the UNC library is like nonfiction nerdy books, and that's what I've been working through. Well, I finally made my way up to the floor with the fiction and literature.
You're in the best part now.
I'm in the best part now. So the stack of books that I've got sitting at home for the most part are like actual fictional novels that people have read and heard of. And I just finished reading, and so I'm reading all these like classic novels that I never read and I'm just finally getting around to. Just finished reading one that I loved, which was The Picture of Dorian Gray.
Oh, such a good book.
By Oscar Wilde, which is fantastic and witty and funny and scary all at the same time. Like, it's like from chapter to chapter, and this surprised me, there's one chapter that'll be just in like just one bon mot after another, like Oscar Wilde being Oscar Wilde, and now just two people shooting the breeze with each other, and then the next chapter will be this like dark psychological horror, and then back to fun stuff in the next chapter, and it just like bounces back and forth. It's great.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
and that's not a super long book, is it?
No, I finished reading it in a day, actually. So yeah, it's
in the
good
time that I watched, that I binge watched a show, I could have read that book.
You could have read that
no
book.
No guilt here.
No,
okay,
absolutely not.
So what I'm gonna pick up next. Mm-hmm. Now, this is going to take a sad turn, and I was just devastated to hear this news, but I'm going to pick up next a book by one of my favorite nonfiction authors who unexpectedly passed away in the last couple of days. Tony Horwitz, who wrote Confederates in the Attic, who wrote Blue Voyages. His wife is Geraldine Brooks, who's a fabulous writer. I just saw it, I think, on, of course, Twitter last night or this morning. So I don't know the circumstances.
Just over the weekend. Yeah.
Yeah, he's only 60 years old. I had the pleasure of meeting him once. He's just such a warm, just fabulous person. So Confederates in the Attic is one of my all-time favorite books. Tony Horwitz, his nonfiction was so well done and engaging, and he sort of inserted himself deeply into a subject. So in Confederates in the Attic, he sort of immerses himself in the world of Civil War, reenactors to sort of understand why they love it. He wrote a great book on John Brown that came out. That's when I met him. But he's got a brand new book out. So this is what I plan to pick up next. It's called Spying on the South, An Odyssey Across the American Divide. So what he does here, he was very interested in Frederick Law Olmsted and his writings. And, you know, Olmsted went and took these travels through the South and tried to sort of talk about the character of the country and the culture and all of that. What Horwitz does is he recreates some of Olmsted's journeys decades later and reflects on, did Olmsted get it right? Have we really come anywhere from when he did this? And sort of his own thoughts about it. So that's the book that I'm going to pick up next.
Awesome.
And I'm sure it's going to be great, and it's a great loss for the world. So, yeah.
All right. So, what I'm currently reading, or what I'm about to start picking up, like probably today. So I just finished Dorian Gray, and if you know how the library system works, like the Library of Congress, the way they categorize books, as we call it
in the trade,
right? So the section goes like this: I'm in the section that's British fiction, and it goes chronologically. So Dorian Gray is Oscar Wilde, end of the 19th century. So then I move into the early 20th century. I have read one book by Virginia Woolf, and it's A Room of One's Own, which is great. It's also nonfiction. I've never read any of her novels, so I've got Mrs. Dalloway and To the Lighthouse sitting at home, and those are the next things that I'm going to start picking up and reading tonight. So.
True Confessions. Librarian True Confessions.
Oh, no.
I've never read anything by her. Never.
Just
haven't done it.
Yeah.
Probably should.
She's a great nonfiction writer.
Yeah.
I've heard good things about her fiction. I could not say for sure until ask me again in 2 days.
There you go.
Yeah.
Also short novels, like
yes.
short
yeah,
works.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, there are a couple of long novels that I've come across in the library. It's like, oh, I should know.
Yeah,
no, I really should not. No.
So speaking of long novels, so what's on deck for me after I get through the Tony Horowitz book? What's on deck for me is a reread of a very long book, also one of my top 5 or 10 favorite books of all time. I am going to reread Lonesome Dove, a great Western epic novel. And the reason I'm going to reread that is the Ackland is their next exhibit, their next show is called Way Out West. And it's images and paintings of the West. And I'm going to do a book talk for it where I'm going to go and sort of go through the exhibit. And then I'm going to do a sort of curated list of book recommendations that people can read, either inspired by the show or to understand the West, or just, you know, it's a chance for me to get up in front of people and talk about books that I like to read, and they should too.
Are you going to tie them to individual works of art?
I think so. I'm going to try to. Yeah. So I'm super excited,
Ackland,
right?
And the things I love
that they
the Ackland.
Do.
Yeah,
they're really doing some. They've like kind of taken. They've turned this chapter, and it just feels like they're doing more and different and more engaged and interesting things. And there's an awesome team there too.
And it just ties together like different forms of art, right? Like you walk through a gallery, and it's very quiet, and you're looking at the artwork, and you're only supposed to be looking at the artwork. But no, like look at the artwork and think about how you can connect it to other things. How do you connect it to music? How do you connect it to literature? Like this is great. Yeah.
So. That's my next book on deck, and it will be long.
Okay.
Also a great TV series.
Okay, so I'm working through. I've moved. I've gotten all the way through the British, and I'm moving into the very next section in the LC, which is the U.S. Also going through and mostly picking out books that are like picking out classic books that I haven't read and need to, focusing on the shorter stuff. A Separate Piece is going to be the next one.
Such a good book.
Yeah.
That's one that I should reread. Maybe we should do a rereading series.
Ooh, let's
together.
Do that. Yeah.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
That's
like
a
reread
great
the same book, or like you reread one and
I don't
you
know.
You reread one and I reread one.
I don't know. Sounds like there's like something there.
We'll figure it out.
There actually, I think there is a book. The title might actually be A Year of Rereading, but somebody, I mean, there's a whole thing about rereading. There's some risk there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like when I reread Catcher in the Rye, I was like, what was I thinking?
No, I did that.
Oh, it's just the worst.
I made that mistake.
But there
Dan
is.
Dan Brown has a similar problem.
First
time through, amazing. Second time through, he can't write dialogue.
Leave it on the table. Yeah. Just leave it on the shelf. But somebody wrote a series of essays that was like reflections on rereading books.
I love
so
it.
Maybe I shouldn't reread A Separate Piece, but I feel like that's one that might stand up.
I think it might stand up.
Right?
I don't
we'll
know.
Find
ask
out.
Me. Ask me in 3 days.
There you go.
ChapelHillPublicLibrary.org for more info on the library. Susan Brown, thank you so much.
Thank you.